The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service by the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. Now, here's today's show.
Welcome, nonprofit community. I'm so glad that you've joined us today. I know you're going to hear so much and get so much information regarding our guest speaker, who is the Place of Hope, Charles Bender, CEO. And Place of Hope is not only, he's told me, not only just in Boca, but all up the North Coast. And we're going to learn more about Place of Hope. And thank you so much. And I want to thank Spirit of Giving Network for sponsoring our show as ever and supporting the nonprofit community as you do. And Charles, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. Tell us, what is Place of Hope? I love the name. I mean, right there.
Yeah, it definitely says a lot, and it's true to who we are. We were created about, close to 20 years ago. The first child came into our care from the child welfare system, from the foster care system in Palm Beach County on May 1st, 2001. So we just celebrated our 17th year. And did I get that right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was 16th, 17th.
Yeah. And so, true to our name is we try to create something for these children who've been subject to abuse, neglect, abandonment, human trafficking, you name it, the worst of the worst situations throughout our community. And we try to create a model that was faith-based, family-based, that truly cares about and tries to lift up these kids so that they can make it. They can make it to the next level if they happen to age out of the system, or if they go home to their family members. We've hopefully planted some seeds about how they can be productive and proactive in their family lives and make it in some tough, tough situations. And so, yeah, we've expanded over the years. We do a lot of different things we can talk about, but really true to our name, we're really trying to instill hope in these kids' lives so they can make it long-term.
So who was the originator of Place of Hope? I mean, you said that child that first day in May.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So we were a vision of Christ Fellowship Church way back. I got involved way back when they kind of announced the vision
We go way back.
This is like 1993, 94, somewhere in there. And it was that idea that there's a crisis in Florida with these kids, and there was inadequate levels of housing and programmatic things for these kids as they enter the system. And so the stats were showing that it wasn't good for kids in Florida's foster care system. So we were just, we were one group that said we got to do something about it. And so we spun off from the church as a separate organization, and we've been structured that way ever since. And we went out to the community and said, this is the model we think will work for certain kids in the system. And so we launched. That first young lady came into our care. She was part of a large sibling group. She had been in multiple foster homes. All the things that were not right about the system, we began to address in 01. And then from that day, we expanded that model and expanded into traditional foster care and expanded into taking the care of the kids that age out of the foster care system at 18 and 21 and have nowhere to go. And then we found out there's a crisis in this community for pregnant teenagers, and we jumped into that arena, and we now are teaching these young ladies how to have their children, but then take care of their children and to not end up in the child welfare system with their children. And then, of course, in the last just few years, although it's been going on forever, the last few years, the communities recognize a tremendous need to address, the human trafficking issue in Florida, being ranked third in the nation for verified cases of human trafficking, sex trafficking of males and females. And so we entered into that arena, if you will, to start caring for those youth and kids that really need, a whole new approach to life. They got to be rescued out of that and brought back into, same thing, hope and a future.
How did Florida become third? What's going on with the human trafficking issue?
You know, like I said, it's always existed. The issue has always been around. I think what happened is in the last few years, people have really kind of zeroed in on, wow, when you look at a statistic comes in front of your face and you see something like that, and it's like, wow, how does that happen? I think a lot of the reasons are because, you know, Florida is still a transient state in a lot of ways. And, of course, a lot of the spikes in human trafficking come around large sporting events and other events when young people are trafficked. But just as a whole, you know, I think Florida's a mecca for a lot of great things too, you know, and so, you know, obviously along with that comes with these other things, but a lot of technical pieces to it. But at the same time, you know, regardless if we were third or fifth, you know, we got to address this issue. And so we stepped in and said, okay, these young ladies and some of these young men that are experiencing this, we think we have a level of care that can adequately care for them and get them to the next level as well. We've been successfully addressing these issues for quite a few years now. But yeah, so we've gotten involved in a lot of things that we probably didn't see way back in 2001 that we would be doing. But, you know, we're blessed to be a part of, you know, helping these young people in their lives. And one of our biggest, newest things that we're venturing into right now is that we're just finding that there are a lot of the families that surround these children that we've served successfully over all these years in multiple campus locations in over six counties. We have about 300 children and youth in our care every single day. So that's in residential care. We've become a large provider. But what we're finding, and have always known, but now we're able to start addressing, is trying to keep the families together when they can be together. So there's a lot of times when these children probably maybe don't need to be actually removed from their families, but their families need extra help. And so we're launching a new program right now for otherwise homeless families with children who we're going to attempt to keep them in a prevention model out of the system. So we're taking in basically mom and her kids, and we're going to reteach on how to effectively parent. We're going to get job training in as a huge component of hopefully getting them to the next level in a living wage so they're not in a poverty situation. And basically the same thing we do with aging out foster youth, we're going to start doing now with families with children and try to keep them out of the child welfare system and get them to the next level of success in their lives so that their children don't end up in, but their children don't learn to then later have children who end up in the foster care system, because it is a cyclical scenario.
Wow. You're biting off a huge, huge elephant, right? Huge. And I just want to thank you, because it just speaks so loudly as to what we need to be doing. You know, when you put a good practice into place, look how you are affecting so many, like you said, not only the children now, but the family. To probably teach things that they were never shown.
Right, right. Well, I thank you, and I thank our community, because, you know, this system for, you know, I say child welfare, some people say, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, otherwise known as foster care, you know, having to remove kids from their family situation, at least for a temporary period of time. The state of Florida has to, for endangerment. If it's a really bad situation, they need to remove them. But then you got to figure out, well, what are you going to do with them now? And so, you know, this state has adopted a model that's called community-based care. And it is, yes, the Department of Children and Families and its partners are involved. But what they've said to each local community throughout Florida is that local community has to take on the issue. And so here in Palm Beach County, you know what? They have. You have. We have. And that's what makes a group like Place Hope even possible, is that the community looks at the issue, hears about it on a radio show like this with you, and then says, wow, maybe I didn't really realize there was this issue with human trafficking, or maybe I didn't realize the need for foster homes was so intense. I mean, maybe I didn't know, but now they're hearing about it, and this is a community that steps up. They step up financially. They step up with in-kind contributions. I mean, we do a diaper drive for our pregnant teens and their kids, and we just get overwhelmed with diapers. So I say thank you back, you know, to you and the community and others who make it an issue.
So you truly embrace, you know, the word community, which has gotten lost. You move into a neighborhood, people would bring over a cake and say, welcome, you know, right? Now
right.
You move in, you close your door, and I'm always so passionate about this idea of creating community, creating a sense of belonging and comfort. And that's what you're doing at Place of Hope. I've driven by and excited to see that you are embracing this issue in a huge way. And as you said, obviously with community support. So you started there with what, a couple buildings?
So down here in Boca, as you and I have discussed, we took over probably about maybe a little over 4 years ago, the Haven for Boys, which was here on Boca Rio Road, and here for a lot of years doing a lot of great things. And just over, you know, over a period of time, they decided that, you know, they were going to close their doors, and the board in their infinite wisdom decided all those years back they were going to give it to Place of Hope. At the time, we were the largest provider in the community, and they thought we had the capacity to do it. We agreed, and we wanted to be a part of that. We wanted to kind of see that legacy live on. And so we came down here, and we're, you know, for, you know, lack of a better way of putting it, we just kind of jump started it and reopened the campus. And then we've gotten involved in the community down here. The community's wrapped their arms around us, and so all the finance has been there to renovate, to expand. And so, yeah, that which has always been a 15-acre campus, only five of it was built out, and we're in the middle now of, you know, that five is up and fully operational, but now we're expanding onto the remaining land. And so excited about that. It is a tremendous need. So we've got the cottages up and running there. We also recruit and retain foster families throughout the whole South County area. We have about 40 families that are kind of attached to this campus that are all over from, you know, Boynton South. And now we're going to be building some apartment complex buildings on the new land that's literally under construction as we speak. The infrastructure project is. And
in between the rain.
In between the rain, for sure. That definitely shut us down last week. But we're back up and going. And it's exciting because there's a tremendous need for affordable, stable, supportive, transitional housing.
Isn't there?
For families and for youth. So
yeah, all of South. I mean, South Palm Beach County, too. I mean, affordable housing is very, you know, even for people that can afford it, it's gotten to be very expensive. You know, everybody wants to be here because of the weather.
Right.
And, you know, everything that you hear and advertise is very true about where we live. It's beautiful, but, you know, it is very expensive, and affordable housing is very difficult. So.
Oh, absolutely. It's somewhat of an oxymoron. I mean, it's just the nature of where we are and where we live, but we're going to be truly creating some. We do it up on the North End already. We're actually looking at it in the Treasure Coast, and we're building as we speak right now. And So Gary Peters Family Foundation has stepped up with a large gift that's going to help us build the first building on that campus. So it is actually starting to take place. We have some, you know, additional funds to raise and so forth. But when I say affordable housing, it's to be true affordable housing. Now, we don't believe that that's a giveaway. I don't believe that, you know, free anything really works in the long term. So there's a lot of responsibility, and there's a lot that goes along with it for our residents. But up on the North End, we've been running this very successfully for about 12 years, that particular model. And when you give people a toolbox of opportunity and you give them the expectations that they have to do it, and we're here to help and hold hands and get you there and introduce you to the people that can help you, people rally and they do it and they want to be successful in their lives. And so this is going to allow us to do more of that down here.
So how many children are on the campus currently?
On the current campus, we have, like I said, we have about 40 licensed foster families that emanate out of that campus, and responsible, you know, with our staff down there. And we have about, our capacity right now is about 24 on the current campus, with the final cottage going under construction now.
And what is involved in becoming a foster? Is that an area that you really are looking to grow as well, the foster?
There is a need throughout Florida, including this area, where, you know, to be able to be licensed and in your own home and have a child placed with you. Most organizations that do this along with us will honor your desires in terms of, do you want to foster a male or a female or a certain age category, a teenager or a younger. So that's what we really try to do. We find, you know, well-intentioned people who want to be a great parent for a period of time, with the idea that most of the children are going to leave the system. Most of them are going to go home at some point. So you got to be willing to understand that as well. But for such a time when they're placed in your care, just like we do at any program at Place of Hope, we our staff know that nothing's forever. You know, just do your very best every single day to point kids in the right direction and teach them things that they need to know. That can take them far in life, you know, and let them know that they're loved and give them some dignity, you know, as opposed to you know, some of the horror stories you do hear from time to time around the United States. And we just believe in a high quality model, and we're looking for people that want to be a part of that.
And how long is the training?
It's usually, I think they have it's about a 10-week training now that you go through for the state in order to be, you know, quote, qualified and then licensed. And we kind of help you through that process. And again, there's other agencies that do it as well, and but we all kind of follow the same sort of matrix, if you will, and then get your license. And then shortly after that, you'll probably have a child placed in your care. And I think what's good about the system when it's done right is that, you know, we partner with the state, we partner with a lead agency in town that runs the system, and we say, you know, we're going to do this together, but we're not going to just license you and make you go out on your own. We're going to be there to support you, you know, while you're doing this, what can be tough work, you know.
Yeah, that's good, because you might feel like you're all alone in that situation, but
right.
If there's any people out there that are interested in becoming foster parents, we'll get that number from Charles in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break in the commercial and regroup here and get back to Place of Hope. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judith Light. So there you are. It's flu season and you're over 65 like me. You're having another busy year. So much to do, so many roles in life to play, but you feel like you might be forgetting something serious. Your annual flu shot. And before you know it, it's too late. It's not just the aches, fever, and chills that last for days and days. The flu can be life-threatening, especially if you have chronic conditions like diabetes and heart disease, which can worsen with the flu. Being active and healthy alone won't protect you. The immune system weakens with age, making you more susceptible to the flu. If you're over 65, ask about your vaccine options, including one made specifically for us. An annual flu shot is the best way to help keep the flu away. Visit the National Council on Aging at ncoa.org/flu to learn more and talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccine options for people 65 and older. Again, that's ncoa.org/flu.
Hey, community, thanks so much for joining us. We're so grateful to have Charles Bender, CEO of Place of Hope, speaking to us really about the amazing amount of work that they're doing, really, really, really helping this much-needed community find hope in their daily lives. So thank you again. And we were talking about fostering, and hopefully you'll get some interest there in terms of people who might want to open up their family, their heart to a home. What's a life like on campus? What's a day in the life of a child at Place of Hope? Tell us some stories.
Yeah, as we've described, you know, there's a lot of different program types. So depending on kind of what program you're in at Place of Hope, it's going to be a little bit different. But when you're on one of our campus locations, typically what we've built these campuses for are kids who haven't made it in traditional foster homes. So they've bounced around the system a lot, and even in their young years. And also may be part of a larger sibling group, which oftentimes requires you know, our kind of family cottage environment on a campus, as opposed to a traditional foster home. Just not a lot of people that can take a large sibling group, and so a lot of times we'll get referred. And so in that environment, we, from day one, have been as traditionally family-based as we could possibly be. We just want not to replace, but to emulate what a healthy, productive, proactive family environment looks like, again, so that we can get this cycle to break for a lot of these kids and these youth. And I can tell you, now that I've been there long enough and watched it happen since day one, it's working, because our kids come back and they're part of life as adults with us. We have several of them that who work, who are employed by us now, and they'll tell you on their own, you know, what that has all meant to them. So it's, you know, it's structured, it's family-like, and it's non-institutional as much as it can possibly be. Yes, we're highly regulated, and yes, we're licensed, and you've got all that that goes along with it. But what we try to do is bury and hide all that so that it just feels as much as possible like a normal family life. And so they go to school in the day, they come back, we check their homework, we're a part of life with them. They're involved in preparing foods and cleaning up the kitchen, and just like you would do in a normal family. And all of our kids, however they want to, are involved in after-school activities, sports, and oftentimes things they've never experienced prior. And that is a primary part of who we are and what we do. And the why we do it goes back to hope and dignity. But summer times like now, family vacations. We pack up our vans and we go. And we have budget for that, and the community supports us. You know, in our P&L, there's a line item right there for family vacations, and so they'll decide as a family where they're going to go in, say, June or July or August before school starts, and they pack up the van and they go. And so we've done things you can imagine. We do the Disney trips. We do, you know, the aquariums. We do out of state to Georgia mountains. We've gone snow skiing. We've been able to take our kids on some tremendous trips as a family, as a unit, that they have, most of them have never experienced before. And so then there's the summer camps and there's all that good stuff too. And so that's the daily life, believe it or not. That's summer life. But then, you know, and during the year, it's our kids are playing football and cheerleading and dance and you name it, because it's important. They have to be a part of the community. They have to see what's possible in life. And then, of course, there's mentoring and there's tutoring and there's all these other things that go on to, you know, just it's amazing that, you know, paying attention to how they're doing in school and in their social lives, you know, gets you a long way, you know, and to know that somebody cares enough to ask you what things are going like at school and actually show up at a meeting with a teacher, you know, our staff, you know, taking that role of parent where needed, is huge.
You must be somewhat, is the word, attached, or you probably want to take some of these guys and gals home too. How would they get to you, under your skin, when you see them come in and how they're doing and get to know them? It must be quite a wonderful job.
I think my favorite part of running this organization for, I think in November will be 18 years for me on staff. My favorite part is building that team of people. Yes, we have to raise money, and yes, we have to put on special events, but knowing that we're building a team of people, whether you're a mentor, whether you're part of the staff, whether you're a foster parent, whether you're a cottage parent, whatever it is, that we're getting great people who actually really care about these kids. And these kids know it. They, and these youth, they know the difference. They know when somebody says something or when somebody plays it out in life. And that literally will give them the tools that they need to be successful. And, you know, listen, we've had some kids that haven't made it. We've had some kids that have made some bad choices as young adults. But for the most part, our kids are making it. And we do have some tremendous stories. I was telling you earlier, I'm doing a presentation to a company tomorrow on the philanthropy side that they're very helpful out in the community. And I'm bringing one of our youth with us. He grew up with us, with his brother, and he loves to come and talk about his experience of what it was like growing up at Place of Hope, what he's doing now, and where he's headed. And this young man happens to be, he takes his summers off of college and he comes and we actually employ him. He's not even an intern. He's an actual employee during the summer and he works with our kids. And that's what he's getting his degree in social work, and his goal is to come back and work at Place of Hope. We've got quite a few kids that have done that. I say kids all the time. Young people. So it's really amazing because they feel like they're part of something. And that's, they should.
They should. And then the kids that are in Place of Hope see these young people who have come back and say, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
That's absolutely right. It's one thing for me to say it. It's a whole nother to hear from a young man or a young lady that's been through it, and they're on that trajectory towards better things. Those kids, they do need to see that.
That's your best hope right there, is this the new generation that you've cycled, you know, to come back and work. And you talked about the staff. How many staff do you have?
We have about 100 folks on staff in various capacities. There's some part-time, full-time, and most of that leans in the direction of child caring. But then, of course, we've got our other staff people that are out there doing community relations and so forth. But we cover from northern Broward all the way through Palm Beach and then up into the four-county Treasure Coast region. And even up in that region, which is a separate region as far as child welfare goes, we've had some tremendous success. We're the fastest-growing foster care agency up in that area. And we're still recruiting and retaining high-quality families here. We've seen a lot of very successful adoptions take place. And then we're, you know, constantly cycling through and coming up with new fundraising ideas, because it is a partnership idea. The state has a role, and for certain programs, they're going to pay us a certain amount to do a high-quality job. But the expectation is that the community will come alongside of us and support that and them, and that's what they do. And so...
So how can the community help you? What can we do? Give us phone numbers, information,
sure.
What's happening, if we want to volunteer.
Yeah, the best is placeofhope.com.
Easy.
Placeofhope.com. That's
placeofhope.com.
easy. And then a number, 561-775. 7195 is our headquarter number. And so if you're living in the South County, we'll connect you there. If you happen to hear this somewhere else and you live up in the North, we'll connect you there as well. But everything's on our website. Just like any charity, we have to raise money. We have a lot of events to do that. We have people who support us just monthly who send in something and knowing that we're doing a good job. We've won 3 years in a row, Charity Navigator. We've won an award by them, ranked number one in the nation in our category out of all charities in the United States.
That's huge.
So you
said that softly.
Yeah, well, I say it because it's not a bragging point. It's a point of giving comfort to people who do want to give.
Sure.
And they need to know that it's a transparent organization that's looked at from the outside by Charity Navigator, number one agency in doing what they do. And there's other, awards like that give people a comfort level to give and be involved. But that's what it takes. And then we're always looking for more people to mentor and tutor and just be a part of. A lot of companies like to come in with a group of people and do a day at the campus where they're helping out with physical needs, helping us spruce up and clean windows and paint, all that good stuff. And we enjoy
that. There's probably nonstop cleaning and things that need to be repaired and fixed. And
that's right.
Just like a house,
right?
It's nonstop. Well, absolutely. Thank you so much, Charles. Just give a shout out one quick time with the phone number, and I want to thank you again. Place of Hope, Charles Bender.
561-775-7195, and it's placeofhope.com.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented as a public service of the Beasley Broadcast Group, hosted by a representative of the Spirit of Giving Network. To volunteer for the Spirit of Giving Network, call 561-385-0144. And tune in again next week for the Forum for Nonprofits. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.